and the earth, and saw that it was good. In rebellion, turned her friend into his greatest enemy. Friend, traitor, battle that still rages on. Fallen, a short story by ZK Stone. Available on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited.
Today on the David Rydell Show, we're going to be talking about the trap of socialism in America. Stay tuned. We'll get into it in just a moment. To the David Rydell Show. Thank you for tuning in. Coming back to you with our weekly broadcast here. My good buddy Chris Cruz over in the studio over there doing a good job running the board. Appreciate you, Chris.
That's all. David.
Yeah. Did I mess up?
Who is Chris Cruz?
Chris. Oh, Zach. Sorry. Chris. Where did I get Chris Cruz at? Yeah, who's Chris Cruz? I know that name. Who is that? It's in my head for some reason. Where's that from? I don't know.
You listen to too many podcasts.
Yeah. Zach Stone. Chris is Chewing the Fat with Jeffy. Jeff Fisher Show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Chris. Did not mean to insult you. don't come after me. I mean, I didn't mean to... Anyway, on with the topic here. How you doing today, buddy? Zach.
Yeah.
Zach Stone. Zach Stone over there in the DFW complex over there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, running the board for us and doing all the technical stuff. Great guy. Also, if you like that music at the beginning, that's my nephew, Buddy Rydell, got a full-service studio. They're in Southern Ohio doing gospel music recordings. Man, if you want to record almost an album, they don't make albums anymore, do they? They still do CDs? I think they still do CDs. But anyway, if you want to do...
I don't think anybody buys. Well, actually, you know what? No, they're going back to albums.
I heard albums are making a comeback. Yeah.
So
see, I stick around long enough, I'll come back into style. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, my nephew, Buddy Rydell, got Rydell Studios LLC. The guy is a phenomenal musician. My other nephew, Jacob, he plays keyboards and stuff like that for him. My brother plays rhythm guitar for him. I mean, it's just, I'm from a very, very, very talented family. And the reason that I drive a truck is because they got all the talent. But anyway, today's program. Oh, hey, also, Zach, I almost called you Chris again. Of course, Zach, last week kind of left on a sour note there when you couldn't tell me what the Constitution was. I hope you've done some research over.
Wait, the what?
Did I mess up again?
What did you say it was?
You were talking about the Constitution. You didn't know what the Constitution was, and you were asking me a question.
No, of course I know what the Constitution is. I thought you said something else.
What you think I said?
You said you were having some tummy issues and...
Well, that was not on the air. I was just having some tummy issues because...
But I thought you were... David, I thought you said constipation. I've been doing all this research this week, looking at all these medicines and home remedies, essential oil, prayer list. I mean, I've got tummy issues of my own because I was fasting for you. Oh my goodness, is that Indiana accent coming out of you?
Okay.
I was trying to figure out what you were talking about last week. I was like, democracy? Okay, that's not what we are. Republic. Oh, Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. You. I mean, if you, yeah, I get you.
You said constipation, and I imagine Jar Jar Binks running to the bathroom.
The force is not strong in this one. I'm just saying. The force is not strong in this one.
Well, oh, my apparently goodness. It's stronger than we thought thought it was, because we thought it was constipated last week.
Well, everything has been worked out. Let's just put it that way, okay? Anyway, all right. back to our program today. Yeah, I'm fine, folks. Zach, I'm sorry you felt like you needed to pray for me and stuff. I have no idea where you got constipation out of constitution. Maybe we need to get you some of that earwax removal stuff that they advertise on the other program that we're competitors better, with. You know. Constitution. You ain't right in the head. I'm just saying. Anyway, hey, welcome back Morgan to the program, folks. Yeah. it's a menial wage and a menial job and a horrible task that you have to put up with me, my friend. Anyway, yeah, hats off to you.
Talk about my paycheck haven't gotten.
Let's talk about that off air, okay? Because I don't want the people to know how cheap I am exactly. Zach Stone, folks, over there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, great, great executive producer, running the board, doing all the editing, and trust me, in my program, there's a lot of editing, just saying. Anyway, get a hold of me if you want to contact me on Facebook, the David Rydell Show. If you're interested in doing a gospel recording, he only does the gospel, so don't come in trying to do something else. That's all he does is his studio is completely committed to Christ and furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he doesn't do a whole lot of recordings every year. He's very, very selective on who he brings into the studio. But he's got a great, great studio. So anyway, if you want to, he can play anything. Man, the guy's just unreal. Anyway, the program today, the Trap of Socialism in America. It's very interesting that we're here where we are right now. It seems like that one party is completely totally committed to a socialist America, and that's not a good thing, folks. The basic concept of socialism, at its core, it sounds good. It sounds like a good thing. It's people helping each other, and even some people try to give biblical references as to why we should be a more socialist nation, why we should be some more socialist minded. I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, man comes to Christ and says, tell my brother to divide his portion of the inheritance, his portion of his inheritance with me. And Christ actually rebuked him, if I might have judged in this matter, and what the brother was, and he actually scolded him for being greedy. And anytime you want what someone else has without either trading what they have for what you've either earned or what you're willing to earn to get that, that's not a good thing. And as far as charity, that's a great thing, because charity is a free will. Charity is when I see someone who has a need, and in my heart, I want to try to help that need or even alleviate that need, then that's a good thing. But when someone else comes in and takes from me forcibly and gives it to someone else, that's not charity. That's actually defined in the Bible as theft. And so that's the problem with socialism. Socialism is not charity. It's actually theft. It's taking from someone else to give to someone else. And the need may be there. The need may be true. The need may be great. And the need may be just. But when someone forcibly takes from someone else to give it to another, it's not even morally correct to do so. And that's what socialism is. Socialism also is where the government takes over control of not only individuals' income or property, but it's when they start to control the industry of the nation. And we're already starting to see that. I mean, a lot of government control over our local industries. We were set up as a free market system, and also referred to as capitalism. And honestly, the reason that the free market system is getting such a bum rap right now, and socialism is gaining in its popularity, especially among young people, number one is the colleges are teaching socialism as the way to do things, as the proper way of governing people. And they dress it up in fancy robes and act like it's something really great. And because most of the college professors that are teaching this are actually socialists. And so it's the reason that it's looking so good right now is not because capitalism is bad or not because a free market system is bad. It's because we have gotten to the point now where we have stopped being true free market capitalists, and we have now become crony capitalists. Now, crony capitalism is actually just socialism in disguise as well. Crony capitalism is when the government begins to pick who's going to be successful in business and who's not going to be successful in business. Kind of like government control of business. Now, individuals still hold the business in their hands or in their control, but the government is pushing one business over another. How do they do that? Well, they do that through regulation. Back years ago, the big three automakers wanted regulation. Now, anytime a company goes to the government and says, regulate us, that's like me going to Zach and telling him, look, I'm giving you control of my home. I want you to come in and regulate what goes on in my home. Look, I paid for that home. I take care of that home. That's my, I don't want someone else coming into my home telling me where to hang my pictures, what time to get up, what time to go to bed. So if you see a company say, hey, we want regulation, red flags should start flying everywhere. Well, here was the deal behind the big three automakers wanting regulation. There was a lot of other smaller car companies that were starting to gain popularity. And so the big three automakers went to the government begging for regulation. Why? Because they were already huge. They were trying to cut out their competition. And they actually, the big three automakers got together and wrote the regulations that the government put in effect. What happened was they protected themselves from all of the others. That's crony capitalism. All right. And when you see stuff like that begin to happen, then it's not long before people start to get disgruntled with what's going on. And what's going on right now, look at the banks in 2008 when everything began to collapse. And we're going to get into this a little bit more in a little bit. But when the banks begin to collapse, the government went in and picked the winners and picked the losers and bailed out the ones they said were too big to fail, and the ones that weren't big enough, then they failed. And that's crony capitalism. It also creates a feeling of animosity among the people because good people lost their jobs. Good people lost everything because of what was going on. So anytime you get government interference, we stop being a true capitalist or a true free market system. And when that happens, and look, you can't blend capitalism with socialism or a free market with socialism and expect it to be able to stand up to that. It's like mixing oil and water. It does not work together. They will immediately begin to separate themselves from each other. And when you shake them up, they're not mixing. And you never can really separate them again. 2008 was a classic example of when government got too much control, and it starts off as trying to help people out, trying to better people's lives. The best way to better people's lives is to create an environment where they can pursue their goals and pursue their dreams. And that doesn't mean that you're going to make the road easy for them. The road to success is not supposed to be easy. Those who become successful should become successful because they had it in their heart and they had that drive that no one could stop in order to become successful. If it was easy to be successful, everybody would be successful. And there is the rub. This is what the mind of those who want socialism, it's where it goes wrong. Everybody is not going to be successful. I'm sorry. It's not supposed to be that way. Some people are never going to be successful. As bad as that hurts, that's just life. You know, some people are actually in the wrong field of operation. They're not even doing what they're supposed to do. They think they're supposed to be over here, and so they're beating their head against a wall. And until they learn, this is not where I'm supposed to be, I'm supposed to be over here, then they're never going to be truly successful. Some people go through their entire lives not becoming successful because they're chasing the wrong dream. I just heard a story today about a guy whose mother wanted him to be an attorney, but he loved to be to bake. He baked cakes and cupcakes and all of these kinds of things for it, and literally was dying. Literally, he wouldn't sleep, and he was pursuing his mother's dream for him during the day, and then coming home in the evenings and baking till late in the night or early in the morning. And literally had to go to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Look, you have to choose which one you're going to do." And he chose to be a baker instead of a lawyer, and found, you know, great contentment and great success in that. And here's the other thing: is everybody doesn't want to be the CEO of the company. Some people are completely content, righteously so, good for them, with just being the 9-to-5 guy, or being the 7-to-3 guy, or the 3-to-11, or the 11-to-7 guy. They want to go to work, produce for their employer, then come home, spend time with their family. Some people are more driven to succeed. So we're all created equal. When we talk about that, that doesn't mean that we all have the same desire, that we all have the same goals, that we all have the same abilities. It just means that the government is supposed to protect each individual to pursue what they want to do. You've got everybody's got an equal opportunity to become what they want to become. If you want to be the CEO of the company, then you should have that opportunity in a free market system, in a republic that is set up to protect those rights of the individual. We talked about that last week, that you should have the right to pursue that. Well, if you want to be the janitor, that's fantastic. There's nothing wrong with doing what you want to do, and that you're free to choose that. And everybody is, like I said, everybody's not meant to be the janitor. I'm a horrible janitor. I couldn't do the job. If you hired me to clean your office building, I would work about a week and you would fire me because I'm just horrible at it. Why? Because it's not what I'm supposed to do. Personally, I have not found out exactly what I'm supposed to do yet, and I'm hoping someday that I will, but quit laughing, Zach. That isn't funny. Anyway, so that's what true capitalism is, and when you mix the republic with true capitalism or a true free market system, it's a beautiful thing. But some people wanted to pull everyone else up to the same level. It's not going to happen. And so what happened is they went in and the housing and urban development, the HUD system, started offering everybody the chance to own a home. Well, look, if you can't afford a home, you probably shouldn't try to buy a home. They were given loans for as little as $100 down. That was all federally insured. It was all backed up. It was guaranteed. The banks were guaranteed to get the money from the government if these people defaulted on their loan. Well, here's the problem. in the late 19. I bought a house in the early 1990s, and I put a down payment down on it. I believe it was 10% was all they needed down payment at that time. It was through a HUD loan, but they assessed how much I made and how much the house payment was going to be, and that's how they determined my payment. Well, the problem with that is within the mid-1990s to the late 1990s, they started offering less and less down payment. And all of a sudden, all around me, neighborhoods started to spring up. Now, my home was built in the 1960s, late 1960s. Brick home, all the houses on the, in that neighborhood were all brick homes. Most of them three-bedroom ranches with a two-car garage, concrete driveway, all of them, you know, well-built homes. By the end of the 1990s, early 2000s, all of these houses started popping up all over the area around us. Whole neighborhoods were springing up, like almost overnight, it seemed like. But these weren't three-bedroom brick ranch houses. These were frame houses with vinyl siding. You know, good-looking homes. Problem is, I begin to notice that within 5 years, the siding was starting to warp. I began to hear stories about poor construction and things of that nature. What was going on was, and the thing about it was, these houses were running sometimes 2.5 times more than what I'd paid for my well-built home just, you know, 10 years before. My house immediately more than doubled in value because of all the housing prices around me that was going up. What caused that? It was the government interference. All of a sudden, people were able to buy a home because they weren't able to save the $10,000 down that you needed to buy a home in that area. All they had to do, and there were some of them that were getting no money down loans. As a matter of fact, at one time, I could have borrowed up to 125%. Not 100% of my home's value, but 125% of my home's value. How can you do that? Government interference. Government begin to come in and tell the banks, if you'll loan them this money, if they default, we'll cover it. Now, that all sounds well and good, except for these people weren't able to save the money to buy the home under the old rules, so they changed the rules. The government backed it up. Now, let me ask you something. Where does the government get their money? They don't make money. They never produce a product and sell it in order to make money. The best you can do is that the Federal Reserve makes money off of the investments that they give to the banks, and they get the interest of it. But that's a very minute amount of the federal budget, let me tell you. So the government really is all that. Where they get their money is from me and you. They get it from our income tax. That's where they get their money from. So who is actually making this guarantee? Is it the government or is it me and you? All of a sudden, in 2008, it got so out of control that the bubble busted. And when the bubble, when that housing market bubble busted, and it because it was fake, it was like a big soap bubble that a kid's blowing out of one of the little bubble toy things that you dip it in the soapy water and you begin to blow it. Not all of them form into a real good bubble. Sometimes they'll get really big and the kid will get excited and blow a little bit too hard, and all of a sudden, poof, it, and what happened? It's completely gone. All you got is this little bit of a frizzy drizzle that's raining around the kid's face, and it gets in their eyes and they're crying and they're like, oh, what happened to my butt? It busted. Same thing happened here. It was a fake bubble. It looked really good. When it busted, not only did houses the housing market collapse, it also started to have a ripple effect in the economy all the way around. And that's what happens when the government begins to interfere with people and how they are to live their lives. You can never, this is why our founding fathers wanted a limited government. They didn't want the government involved. They didn't want the government's fingers in everything. Now, it starts off as a righteous thing. I remember, what was the president, Zach, who said a chicken in every pot, all right? This is socialism. When a president can step out and say, we're going to put a chicken in every pot. No, that's not the government's job. The government's job is not to put a chicken in my pot. The government's job is to protect my freedom, is to protect our sovereignty, is to protect our borders. That's what the government, that's the only job of the government, is to protect its people, not to feed its people, but to protect the peoples and their rights. Here's the deal. I was thinking about the other day. If you take, I'm going to have to readjust my camera here. It's starting to slide. Yeah, we got the highest tech equipment here. It's actually my iPhone. And I've got it set up on my Dairy Queen lemonade cup. And what I didn't think about before I'd done this, I've got it also propped up on a, on this, where am I staying at? I don't even know where I'm at. I have no idea where I'm at. There's nothing in this room that identifies where I'm staying. Zach. I think I'm at a Howard Johnson or something. I'm in Goshen, Indiana. But anyway, my cup with the ice in it is now starting to shed water down onto the notebook, and the notebook is wet, and my iPhone is sliding away. Anyway, where was I at? I'll tell you what, let's just take a little break right here. I'll recollect my thoughts. We're going to go to our sponsor, let them give us a word, and Zach is like, you guys can't see Zach because he's keeping himself off camera, but Zach is cracking up in the control room, and thanks, Zach. I appreciate you laughing at it. That was kind of funny. Anyway, here's a word from our sponsor. Be right back in just a moment. Welcome back to the David Rydell Show. Please go out and take care of our sponsors. We appreciate them taking care of our program. And glad to have you with us this week. Again, talking about the trap of socialism in America. Talking about the housing market that collapsed. It was because of the interference of government that gave people the thought that they could actually afford a home. And that's a great thing. If you want to own a home, great, go for it. But here's the deal. You got to earn that home. Just like anything else, you got to work for it. And, you know, I put my house up for sale at one point and had a really good price on it, but it couldn't sell because they could actually buy a brand new home. Excuse me. They could buy a brand new home cheaper than my home as far as interest rate because, again, the government was guaranteeing the loan on a new home versus an existing home. And, it actually was hurting me in a much better home than what they were getting. So it just doesn't work. I mean, when you put the government in, when you let the government get involved in things, then bad things start to happen. Government is not supposed to be involved in our business. And I just heard a story again today that Donald Trump or President Trump had actually pardoned or commuted the sentence of a man. And I forget where he lived at, but in order to protect his home from wildfires, he had dug a ditch, diverted a stream around his home, literally made kind of like a moat around his home to protect his home from fire. Okay, he got put in prison for that because it violated federal government guidelines and some kind of EPA thing. This is not what government's supposed to be. This is why I am calling for a smaller government, for a limited government. Government has gotten too big, gotten too far out of control. Again, going back to the chicken in every pot, going back where before we went to the break. Socialism didn't come in all crazy. It came in, and it always does this. It always does this. It comes in as something righteous. It comes in as something good. Look at Obamacare. I had a guy debate with me, and actually said I wasn't a good Christian because I didn't want to have him covered under health insurance. And here's the deal. It's not a right, okay? Health insurance is not a right. It's a privilege. And like every privilege, it has to be earned. If something is a right, it doesn't cost the government any money. All right. If it's a right, it's free. It doesn't cost anything, especially from the government. No, it's my right to keep and bear arms. That doesn't cost the government anything. It may cost me, you know, the money to go out and buy a weapon or to buy the things that go along with becoming a safe and responsible gun owner. It doesn't cost the government. Freedom of speech doesn't cost the government anything. Freedom of assembly does not cost the government anything. Freedom of religion doesn't cost, rights doesn't cost money. Anytime the government has to start taking money from me and giving it to you, it's no longer a right. It's an and why should I, who I work 12 and 14 hours a day, why should I put a chicken in your pot? The government cannot take from me and give to you and still consider it itself a legitimate government. That's robbery. That's theft. Now, there are things that we share, our roads, our military, some of the services that are provided by the government that are you know, legitimate services, police, fire, things like that. Those things I'm fine with contributing to. That's wonderful. That's perfect. I don't care to do that. Even to a limited degree, those who represent us, we want to make sure that they're taken care of because they are representing me. I'm willing to pay that individual. If every one of us chip in a little, that individual gets paid for the time they volunteer or the time that they commit to they don't volunteer, trust me, the time they commit to represent me in my government, state, local, federal, whatever the case may be. I have no problem with that. All right. But when they begin to take from me to give to you, that's a socialist government. And literally that's what they've done in the housing market. They took from the United States people, the people of the United States, and put it into, and when that happened, all of us suffered immensely because of that. And because it created a false assumption that people could afford more home than they actually could afford. And people were buying these big homes and all of a sudden could not make the payments. And when they could not make the payments, it began to fall apart. And like any house of cards, you hit one or two of them and the whole thing begins to crumble. Why? Because it's not got a good foundation. We've got to lay a good foundation. And look, our founding fathers laid a great foundation. And until the progressives, actually the socialists, until they begin to mess with it back in the 1920s, yeah, everything was working pretty good until they begin to mess with it. Now, here's the deal. And again, I don't know everything. There's lots of things I don't know. But this is what I do know. Government cannot rob from Peter to pay Paul. Nor can you. I mean, how long can you get by with saying, you know, I got the house payment due, but over here I've got the electric bill. So what I'm going to do is I don't have enough to pay the house payment. So I'm going to take out of my electric payment, electric bill payment, and put it over here in a house payment, and then I can make the house payment. Well, when you've made the house payment, what happens to the electric payment? Well, I've got the electric payment over here, and I don't have quite enough, but I've got the gas bill over here. I'll take it out of the gas bill budget and I'll put it in the electric. Okay, whew, got the electric bill paid. Wow, great. Got the house payment and electric payment. Well, what about the gas bill? See what I'm saying? You can only do that for so long. I was reminded. My grandpa on my mom's side, his name was Gilbert Lamb. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was him that was building, and he didn't square anything up, Zach. He just kind of let it fly, you know. He began to build, and it was building with somebody that was actually probably a pretty good carpenter, and the guy said something about, I think we're going to be a quarter inch off. He said, oh, we'll fix it when we get to the other side. And he said, well, we're a half inch off. He said, we're going to fix it when we get to the other side pretty soon. He said, look, there's this, what are we going to do when we run out of sides to get to? You know, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And that's the way it is. That's what's going on. That's what's wrong with our government right now. We've grown so bloated that now we're 24 trillion, $22 trillion, $24 trillion in debt. All right. Now, I wrote down some, and I don't have any fancy graphics for you, and I'm going to give you some numbers, and sometimes these can be boring. So I'll try not to bore you. I'll try not to bore me. All right. We hear a lot of talks about it, $22 trillion. Okay. We hear that number so much that we really don't comprehend. We don't even, we've become desensitized to it. Let's just take $1 trillion. What would it take? What's it mean to have $1 trillion? Okay, here's the deal. If you take $1 trillion, if you got $1 trillion, okay, say Jesus was born in the year 01, let's say, now we're 2019 years later, okay? If you had $1 trillion on the day Jesus was born, and you begin to spend $1 million a day, right? That's a lot of money to spend every day. $1 million a day. Could you spend, from the day Jesus was born till now, could you have spent $1 trillion? Oh, sure, that surely you could. No, actually, you still have about 700 years left to spend $1 million a day. And that's just $1 trillion. We're $22 trillion in debt. And every year, our federal budget deficit is $1 trillion. It's $1 million a day for 2,700 and something years. All right. Federal budget every year is this past year, 2018, was $4.746 trillion. Okay. And again, that's just numbers. Okay. $4.7 trillion is the budget. All right. Three categories of spending that's in that budget. The first one is mandatory spending, those things that have to be spent on, the things that we have to spend money on. That's $2.8 trillion. All right. Discretionary spending is $1.4. And the interest alone on the debt, and we hear a lot about, oh, we're just paying the interest on the debt. Well, the interest on the debt is only $479 million. When you're talking about trillions, $479 million don't seem quite as bad as, you know, some of the other numbers that we see. The annual revenue, which is brought in through income tax, payroll tax, Social Security, Medicare, all that kind of stuff, our annual income is $3.6 trillion a year. So we're already at a $1.4 trillion. I think I got this written down wrong. I'm sorry. We're at over a $1 trillion deficit. Like, I think it's $1.1 trillion. I don't have that written down here. Bear with me. I know these are boring numbers, but I'm getting somewhere, okay? Annual revenue, 364. Budget, 4.7. All right. So, yeah, we're right at $1.1 trillion deficit in what we bring in to what we spend. 50% of that income comes from income tax and payroll taxes. That's when you get your check and you see it and you've made so much money, but you're only taking home this. That's, some of that is your income tax, federal payroll tax that comes out. 36% or $1.2 trillion is taken. It comes in through Social Security and Medicare deficit or withdrawals. Okay, you also pay that out of your income. There's corporate taxes. Corporate taxes only pay about 7%, and then there's 8% tax that comes from state tax, excise tax, federal earnings, things like that. Makes up the rest of the income. Okay, three categories of spending. One is mandatory. $2.8 trillion every year comes out of that mandatory spending. Over half of our income tax is spent on mandatory stuff. The mandatory spending is things like Social Security and Medicaid. Those things have to, but the thing about it is right now, those are almost being paid for. 2010 was when they started actually going in reverse. We've got enough still in reserves to cover us up to about 2032 if everything holds the same as it is now. So the income that's coming in as far as Medicaid, Medicare, but here's the deal with Medicaid and Medicare, or Medicare and Social Security. It's not necessarily socialistic in nature because you're paying for it. But the problem is you're now dependent on the government. Now, if the government would have left that alone, there'd be more than enough money to take care of all of us. There would be no problems with Social Security. We'd no problems with Medicare because people are actually funding that through their income tax or through their income. Here's a problem. Government didn't leave it alone. They spend it on other things. They take it out, put an IOU in. Well, you can't spend an IOU, folks. And money is very fickle. Once you spend it, it's gone. You ever noticed that? Take a 20, put it in your wallet. Go buy you a pack of gum. Now you got $19, or you got $18.75. All right. What happens to that 18? You can keep that 20 in your wallet for a lot longer than you can that 18.75. Somehow, I don't know about you, Zach, but whenever I break a 20, it doesn't take it long for the rest of it to disappear. That's money. Once you spend it, it's gone. The government, again, the government doesn't make money. It takes money. All right. So they took that money, put an IOU in the box, said, you know, we'll pay that. No, they never did pay it back. Now we're in a problem. Now we have a problem. Why? Because you can't trust the government. You just can't trust them to do the right thing. They've got, it's like when someone wins the lottery. Most of the people that win the lottery end up broke. I read an article back a couple of years ago about the people. Remember that TV show where they were fixing up people's homes and helping them? I forget the name of that home. Is it Move That Bus Home Improvement Place or show? Great show, man. Anyway, I used to love to watch that show. But most of the people that they fixed up those homes for ended up losing those homes because they go in, they'd fix it up, pay their old mortgage off. They were completely debt-free. Well, these people, the reason, and I hate to sound cold and callous, but the reason people are in trouble is because they've never learned how not to get into trouble. You don't learn from your mistakes. You're going to keep making your mistakes. Most of those people that they fixed up those homes, give them beautiful homes, a fresh start in life, ended up needing some money and went and borrowed against the home. Instead of saying, look, this home is free and clear, don't mess with it, they went and borrowed money against it and then couldn't make the payment on the home equity loan and lost the home. You can't help people, especially people that you can't help. Some people you just can't help. And you know what I found out? The people that you can help usually don't want you to help them. You ever notice that? I don't. Zach, I don't want you to help me. I got this stupid thing called pride. I get it. I'll take care of this. All right. So anyway, that's mandatory spending. All right. Discretionary spending, $1.4 trillion. All right, let's deal with that. About half of that goes to our military. I say leave the military alone. That not only covers airplanes, ammunition, tanks, payroll for the serving military, it also covers VA, things of that nature. So I say leave that alone. Those people deserve everything we give them and more, all right? Discretionary spending, the other half goes to domestic programs. Programs like Health and Human Services. Sounds righteous. Sounds good. But is it our responsibility to do that? Goes to education, housing and urban development. Again, housing and urban development was what got us in the 2008 scandal. It's what caused the economy to crash in 2008. It wasn't the policies of George Bush. It was the policies of many, many years before that, decades before that. Why? Because we start off, we want to help people. Education. Education is a great example. In the promo, Zach was talking about the entrapment of socialization in America. Through, and it's talking about your, he talked about your education, and this is problem with this is problem with government run education. The government is all about the government that we have in place now. This is not the 1780s government. This isn't the 1790s government. This isn't the 1860s government. George Washington, when he stepped aside, left the office of president, the King of England, it wasn't exactly said this way, but the implication was there this way, saying was if he steps aside and goes back to Mount Vernon, that's what they told him he's going to do, he'd be the greatest man that ever lived. Because any man with that kind of power who voluntarily steps aside and lets someone else take over, that is an awesome individual. Because men don't want to secede power. What happens when someone gets power? They want more power. That's the problem with the federal government. We've gotten to the point now that they want power. Well, let me ask you a question. The federal government, those people who want power, do you think they're going to teach the upcoming generations through public education that they're really not supposed to have that much power? Why do you think they're taking this stuff out of the textbooks? They're not going to teach me about my freedoms. They're going to teach me about how bad the country is, or our wicked past, and how George Washington was a slave owner and Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner. Not that both of those men actually abhorred slavery. The original Declaration of Independence actually called for an end to slavery. But in order to keep a union to defeat the British, they had to take it out. They were trying to build a nation. But what they said was to form a more perfect union, not to form a perfect union, but to form a more perfect union. They knew that there was room to advance, and they advanced. You know, our nation's got some dark history. But what individual don't have some dark history? I say teach the dark history. Don't leave it out, but teach the good too. But see, if you want power over the people, you don't teach the people that they are actually the power over the government. That's why your tax dollars are going to such things as education. I believe in education. The original founder who called the father of public education, his main thing was the two books he wanted included in that public education was the Bible and that day's hymnal. See what happens when you begin to get a bloated, out of control government who promises the people everything. I mean, these people today are promising, and they're promising you everything. They're promising you things that they cannot give you. And if you search down in your heart, you'll know they can't give you what they're saying. Free education for everybody. Free health care for everybody. We're giving them over almost $5 trillion a year, and they still can't pay the bills that they have now. Do you really think they're going to be able to give you more? No. See, socialism is actually what we refer to as communism. Because true communism, it's never been reached. Some have tried to reach it, but really all they did was practice socialism. And when socialism didn't work in a voluntary form, it always resorts to the end of a gun. All socialist countries resort to the government becoming violent with its people in order to try to reach that communistic goal. So we've actually mislabeled communism and socialism, because communism is just everybody being equal, everybody sharing, everybody doing good for each other. Actually sounds like a lofty thing, but it will never work on this earth because, again, a fallen man. We're innately flawed in our character and our being because of the fall of Adam. It's been passed down to us. So whenever you tell a man he doesn't have to do anything to get something, guess what? He won't do anything because we're fallen. Why should I go out and labor 12 and 14 hours a day when I can lay up in this HUD house, sell a little drugs on the side, drink and smoke my life away? Why should I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go sweat and labor till I hurt, when I can hang out at the house and watch TV and play cards with my buddies and know that I can get a check. That's why we don't have as many divorces in America. The divorce rate's gone down because it actually hurts to get married, because the wife who's having the children, if she's single, she gets more social help. So dad lays around, mom makes the check, and the roles are reversed. Mom is now the provider. No wonder we're in the mess we're in. You don't want a socialist government. But we're going to get it. Unless us Americans stand up and through the ballot box, take our country back. Socialism is a very dangerous thing. It never ends well. There's never been one socialist country. It's in Denmark. All Denmark is social. No, their chancellor or whatever he's called, prime minister, whatever they call him. He came over and said, look, quit calling us a socialist government. We're not socialist. They've been using that as the example, socialism, how it works. No, we're a capitalist society. They have a huge welfare program, but they're not socialist. In some ways, they're more capitalist than us. They got more freedom to create business than we do. Not as much regulation as we do. I remember back, 10 years ago, all the stars were down in Venezuela. This is the greatest. This is what socialism can be. This is what we can be. Where is Venezuela today? They don't even have food. They don't have toilet paper. The government ran all the industry. They had all of the utilities. They don't even have running water. They're starving. And what happens? They also don't have weapons. Guess who's got all the weapons? The government. So now they're down there killing their own people. No, they're not. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Why? Socialism never works. Went a little bit long this time, Zach. I'm sorry. Got to ranting and raving. You know how I am. But I appreciate y'all for joining us. Hope I've gave you some food for thought. And Zach, you got some comments you want to make on this topic?
Yeah, for once, I think I actually do.
Okay.
I'm thinking of a guy that I went to college with who had I thought it was a good point at the time. We're talking about socialism, and he said, socialism, it's a great idea, but it never works. You know, because, yeah. I mean, really, because you think, okay, everybody's going to be taken care of. That sounds really good. But what happens? Mm-hmm. It will never work. You know, because you're always going to get somebody in power who, I guess, just wants more and more power for themselves. And before you know it, it's like, oh, we've got all this money that the people, you know, we got from the people. Oh, here's the poor people. Well, we're not going to help them. We're going to give it over to David Rydell. And then before you know it, you've got this class of people who have all the wealth, all the power, and you have a class of people who have absolutely nothing. You know, it's like, wait, that's not how socialism is. You know, like when you hear people talk about how great socialism is, it's like, like I said, it sounds like a good idea, but it will never work because people will always, you know, take as much power as they can get. And before you know it, they'll start, you know, stepping on all, hate to say it like it, but they start stepping on all the little people, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the biggest issue
it always comes down. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the biggest issue we have right now, okay, you look at what the left is doing. They pick their battles. You know, they don't actually teach people, oh, this is what socialism is. This is what the Democrats believe. They'll jump on, oh, we got to get rid of the guns to stop shootings. Oh, abortions, women's rights, you know, all these things. And they'll get the young people rallied up behind them to support those causes. But they don't actually understand what they're supporting, you know, because it's never been explained to them. But then right. you take the conservative side, and what happens? Again, conservatives, we don't teach the younger people. I can tell you a large number of people right now who are my age who will tell you, I don't like politics. I don't listen to politics. I don't care about politics. So then when it comes time to vote, they don't know what they're voting for. So a lot of them don't vote.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I was thinking, I mean, I wish, you know, because you think it's a great idea, you know, people helping each other out. And like I've said before, you know, like if I became a millionaire, you know, I would love to be able to, you know, help people. You know, you see someone struggling, you know, I would love, like, you know, for example, to be able to like say, hey, David, I'm going to pay off all of your debt and, you know, fix your house up and all this stuff. I'm going to do it, not the government, but I'm taking my own personal money and right. I'm going to help you. But here's the catch. If you ever get in the debt that you're in again, don't come back to me for help, because right. I've already helped you once and I'm not going to do it again. But I would also love right. to be able to, and I wish like churches would do more stuff like this.
It is the church's responsibility. You just hit on a very good topic. It is the church's responsibility to help people. It's not the government's. It's the church, and the church has ceded that gift, if you will, mm-hmm. to the government to do. You can't do it because it's got too much. It's too big. You know, the church was small. It knew its community. Mm-hmm. You know, the pastors knew who actually was the scam artist and who needed the help. And who they could help without hurting them. You know, you can't help a chicken hatch. Mm-hmm. That's part of the process. The chicken has to struggle to get out of its shell. If you don't, if you help it, you actually damage the chicken's ability, because he's actually gaining strength by that process. So you can't help people. You've got to let them develop on their own. You know, it's got to be that way, or you damage them.
You know, and
life ain't easy.
I think sometimes I sound harsh to people, because I tell them, you know, like they'll be like, oh, well, this person needs help. And it's like, well, I don't want to help them. Why? Because they always need help. You know, they always can't, like every time you see them, they can't pay anything, you know.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be heartless, you know, like you were saying. Yeah. But it's like, I believe as Christians, we're called to give a hand up, not a hand out. You know.
Right.
Because sometimes you truly fall on people. Sometimes truly fall on hard times. You know, there's people now sure. who are in their 50s and 60s who are in more debt than we can imagine. But why? Because the mistakes they made when they were younger. You know, it's like if, you know, somehow, yeah. again, if, you know, we were rich, David, and we could go say, hey, we're going to pay off all your debt. They would never get back in it again, because they've learned life. Mm-hmm. It's just they never, you know, because right. of whatever it is, maybe – like you said, you know, talking about people working a 9-to-5, they're you know, they're hardworking Americans, but they just never make enough to fix the wrongs that they made when they were younger, right. you know. But so what happens? The government says, oh, let us help you out. And then
right.
they rely on the government for everything. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. But
yep, total sense. Exactly. Total sense. Well, you know, you just – here's the deal is life is hard. It can be really hard sometimes, but that hardness is what makes us who we are. And I've often said, you know, if I could go back and do it all over again, well, I would only want to go back and do it all over again if I still knew what I knew now.
Exactly.
I don't want to go back and do it and have to learn that stuff again.
You know, there's two kinds of people in the world. I'm sorry, but
no, you're right.
And just real quick, if you're somebody who you're sitting on your front porch, you're crying about how horrible things are, you know, you don't have a job, you're not trying to get a job, you're not trying to do any work, it's like, why do I want to help you? You know, but the people that are holding down 2-3 jobs, doing stuff on the side, they're, you know, really working, doing the best they can. You know, it's like, yep. those are the people that I want to help. You know, yep. those are the people, if I had millions of dollars, I would love to say, hey, let me help ease some of this up for you. And if anything, you know, I would love to be able to say, hey, let me find somebody who can teach you how to manage your money. Or, you yeah. know, let me teach you how to manage your money so you don't get back where you are. Because a lot of times,
right.
you know, you've got, I'm going to be blunt, you've got your lazy people. You know, yep. you have people who rely on the government for everything because they don't want to work. But then you've yep. got people who just, I know people get offended when you say this, but some people are just ignorant. They're not stupid. They've just, no one's ever taught them.
Right. You know?
But that's what's going on with a lot of our young people. You know, they're not taught how to manage money. They're not taught how to do these things. So the government has to take care of them. Because what happens when you hear somebody say, if I tell you I'm going to give you a free house, I'm going to give you a free car, you think, wow, that sounds awesome. But what you don't know is, eventually I'm going to take 70% of every paycheck you ever make. Why? Because I have to pay for your stuff that I just gave you.
Right. Right. Somebody's paying for it, you know. And what happens is the guy that's out there working, the person, I should say, that's out there working, I'm only keeping 30% of, because in order to enact all these plans that they're promising you, they're going to take a massive amount of your income. Well, if I'm going to go out here and work and slave, you know, 12, 14 hours a day, or even 8 hours a day, and I'm only bringing home 30%, if I can sit at home and bring home that same 30%, why wouldn't I do that? Mm-hmm. It just takes away the incentive to work. Socialism is one of the cruelest forms of government there ever has been. Capitalism, or the free market system, that has lifted more people out of poverty. Bernie Sanders just praised China the other day. China, communist. Well, that's really no surprise, since he's actually a communist. But praised them and said that they have lifted more people out of poverty than ever in the history of mankind. Yeah, Bernie, how did they do that? It wasn't through communism. It wasn't through socialism. It was through the free market system that China enacted and has brought them great wealth. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, they still have a lot of people living in poverty because they're still a communist government. Actually, no, I'm trying to change that. They're actually a socialist government. They're hoping to get communism someday. But like I said a while ago, no one's ever actually reached that. And no one ever will. It's a pipe dream. It's just not going to happen. But anyway, Jack, appreciate your thoughts on it. Hey, listen, folks, we're going to get out of here. We kind of went long tonight. Enjoyed this topic. And appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. Download that podcast. Share it with your friends. Make some comments on there. And try to help us get this thing going. Share it on your Facebook page. Share it in Messenger to some of your friends and stuff like that. But join us next week. What's that?
Then leave us reviews.
Yeah. Leave us those reviews. Give us, we're on all the major podcast download sites. You can find us on Spotify, Apple iTunes. We got a, is our YouTube page up and running yet?
Look at the time.
We're on Twitter. Zach's got all this stuff under control. He's doing a good job getting this set up. Zach, appreciate you, my friend.
Get my assistant on that YouTube page.
Yeah. Get the assistant on that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Join us next week. We'll have a brand new topic. I have no idea what it is yet, but I'll be studying this week trying to figure out something. And So anyway, just leave us some comments and rate us and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see you next week on the David Rydell Show. Thank you for joining us. God bless y'all. Have a good week.